Zizek, leading that department, the Deputy Minister for Traditional Affairs, the Honourable Pofella, the MEC for Kokta, it's a strong team from Kokta, from the province, and her team. And here we've got the Provincial Treasury, as the HUD is here, and then we've got the Provincial Department of Kokta, and the MEC for Treasury, Provincial Treasury, is now joining us. Honourable Scott. There's your team. There they are. Can someone just arrange a seat for the MEC?
I need to sit next to my staff.
Yeah, I know you must sit next to your staff. Can we just rearrange the seating here? Thank you. We will ask the question, why are we meeting outside the precinct of Parliament? The answer is, all committee rooms have been booked up. And if you go back there, you might see some of the MPs that we were booked in December. So meetings are cancelled, but on the system, it is captured that there is a meeting. That's why we are here. So welcome to all. On the members, why are we having this meeting? The Select Committee for Finance, on an annual basis, meets with the 9 provincial treasuries when we received a briefing on the fiscal position of that province. But in that presentation per province, you get the whole picture what's actually happening in each department. And that refers to appropriations and the budget. And the two meetings, let me see, for finance in the KZN province, made the remark of unfunded mandates, specifically referring to the payment to Gizidunas that has come out of the provincial fiscus, but there's no additional allocations. And this is a matter that stood over. We are in the process of wrapping up the work of the Select Committee for Finance for the 5th Parliament. The NCP will adjourn on the 29th of March, because on the 28th we will be dealing with the Division of Revenue Bill in the NCP plenary. The day after that we adjourn for the election. So this is a wrapping up meeting. It's handing over the baton to members coming in the 6th Parliament to Parliament. This meeting will form part, the content will form part of the legacy report that will be tabled and will guide our new colleagues that will constitute the new Select Committee for Finance and the Select Committee for Appropriations. That's the background I'm giving you. Members receive documentation from the Provincial Department of Kokta, giving some history of the matter of the Isidunas. Today's meeting is work in progress, because this was also discussed at National Council, Budget Council. It was discussed at Budget Forum, but that's another structure of the Minister of Finance with the MECs for Finance and MECs for Kokta. Yeah, it's Parliament that have to conclude on this one, so it's work in progress. We see where are we and what way forward is there. That is the background, honourable members. It's a very high risk area. We must be very, very clear about that. I read all the documentation. There's an act called Intergovernmental Relations. And I think it's unbearable when one sphere of government takes the other sphere of government to court. And there were such examples in the past, which I think is wrong. Because you've got the act, Intergovernmental Relations Act. How do we work together? So with that short introduction, apologies, Mr. Rento, you know, said Mr. Anton Zamandi submitted an apology. Anyone else? And Honorable Shabangu, so please minute that. We are also joined, Honorable Members, by the Acting Chair of the Select Committee for COCTA, the Honorable Dr. and Reverend Mtetwa. Welcome. I invited the Acting Chair because he represents that committee. The Honorable Mohapi is off sick, and we must think of him in our prayers every day. He's not well. So with that introduction and apologies, MEC, I'm going straight to you just to bring us on board again where we left off when we met last year, I think June or August in 2018. Bring us on board, and then we'll give the opportunity to the National Department of COCTA, First Minister, to make a few remarks. Thank you.
Just to bring you all up to speed, and we're talking here about the remuneration of the Isinduna. Mr. Chair, as you will note from our previous meeting, it wasn't just the issue of the Isinduna, it's this whole fact of the unfunded mandate. The Isinduna was one of three in COCTA, and I'm very glad that the NEC of COCTA is here, and I hope your committee will give her an opportunity to talk. But other matters relating to the traditional sector of local government include the unfunded mandate for the traditional courts, as well as the unfunded mandate for the tools of trade. Other issues I raised was the DPSA levy that we have to implement, which gives higher quality of service to public servants. Our bill for that alone was about $6 billion. Every single time they increase the perks of a public service, we're not disagreeing that we don't want our staff improved and their quality of work improved, but if national DPSA are going to make that increase, they need to come with us with the money, because we do not have any. And I think that is where I'd like to start off on, by actually putting you into the picture. I don't want to go too much into the history, and also, again, the NEC is here, her entire team, including the advisors here, so much of the history that we've got directly from the Department of COCTA. So any questions around the history should rather be directed to them. I will just do a two-minute breakdown for you. But basically, the first presidential proclamation was signed in February 2014 that Isinduna should be remunerated. This proclamation was signed by the President determining the amount which the Isinduna should be remunerated. I think the word Isinduna should be taken out. The proclamation actually talks about Hedeman, which is the crux of our issue, because the definition of an Isinduna in terms of Zulu law is very different to that of a headman in terms of the proclamation. So, for historic cases, and in terms of the actual proclamation, the proclamation does not talk about Isinduna, it talks about headman. Headman, many provinces did have headman, a very few number of them. Max outside KZN was about 100. And these headmen had been paid historically since 1994. KZN never had headmen. When this proclamation came out, we were not that concerned because it didn't apply to KZN. But the MEC is in a much better position because she was at the coalface of this. There was the Isinduna then wanted this money, and we started paying it in, I think, 2017. as of December 2016 going forward. We've had a massive problem in identifying who these is and do not are. And from finance perspective, it has been extremely difficult, both with COPTA and with finance, in dealing with the Auditor General, because there is not a fixed number. And Amakosi can fire or hire Isinduna at will. So the first thing that the Department of COPTA had to do was a verification exercise. Some of these purported Isinduna didn't even exist. Some of them had died, or some of them were actually employed in the public service, either as teachers or whatever. And that was a much more difficult process than what we anticipated in the auditing process. But due to the fact, as I'm stating, that in terms of Zulu custom law, we don't appoint Isinduna. And it's even a conflict, as far as I know, between His Majesty the King in KwaZulu-Natal and the Amakosi, who both believe that they have rights to who and who isn't the Isinduna. But without a quantifiable number, how does COPTA get audited? Okay. Now, for us, in terms of why is this an issue, and this is not the only issue, but why is the Isinduna an issue? It's an issue for us because over 3,000 people were identified as Isinduna in KZN. So 3,000 people who have never had a salary in terms of the remuneration of him. And we started paying in December 2017, but as I said, it was unaudited 16, December 2016, but as I said, with unaudited figures, the cost was prohibitive. And what we had to do, and it has been debilitating for provincial COPTA, is that we worked out how much we needed to pay them for the 17-18 financial year, and the only way we could assist COPTA was actually splitting, say 50% shares by all the other line departments, and then COPTA pay the other 50%. Mr. Chair, the reason why we are here before you today is that this scenario, and given the current cuts, further cuts to our budget, KwaZulu-Natal in the 2018 financial year are facing another ½ a billion rand cut to our fiscal. We are not at the bone, we are at the marrow. And we are now at the point where it is having a direct impact on our service delivery program. And I would like COPTA to come in on the other issues, the other unfunded mandate. And these monetary amounts of what these mandates are massive. And whilst we are told that we have to pay them, or if these bills go through, that you automatically create an expectation. The traditional courts and the tools of trade have got nothing to do with the Isinduna, it's got to do with the Amakosi, and again, KZN, our numbers are prohibitive. And from a Treasury perspective, our major issue is that these pieces of legislation are unconstitutional in terms of the fact that they do not have a Treasury certificate. The Hedman proclamation, and again, COPTA, I really would like the MEC of COPTA to come in. There was no Treasury certificate. So how on earth do these pieces of legislation or proclamations go through without National Treasury agreeing to it and finding out where the money is coming from? My MEC has to wake up every month and be faced with another unfunded mandate. And you know, KZN, my fight is we have had one of the worst droughts for the last 4 or 5 years. Our municipalities are in dire need of provincial proctors' support, and yet we have to pay all of these unfunded mandates on top of it. So I'm not going to go further than that, Mr. Chair, but I would like, if it's either the MEC or the Minister of COPTA, who are very familiar with these particular matters, to possibly have an opportunity to add their concerns regarding this.
Thank you, MEC Scott. There you've got a brief background on the members. We are also joined by Honorable Esak. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see you. The man with the yellow tie. Honorable Minister, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a few remarks, and then we'll go to the Deputy Minister. If he wants to say something, everyone will get that opportunity in the MEC then. Yes.
Actually, the real issue,
yeah.
When the issue
started, the
Deputy Minister was there.
He was there.
And the
MEC
was there.
He was there.
I was the only one who was there.
Okay.
So, but I will start. And say that thank you very much, Chairperson. And it's one of those strange stories here where I met this issue many years ago when I was a premier in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. But the letter to the president objecting to the salary structure was actually written by myself on the basis of unaccountability. And the current MEC was MEC then. Now, the process went in a very strange way as well, because the Minister of Finance, when confronted with this issue, he wrote a letter to the judge in charge of the commission and reported that there was a challenge to the fiscal, but felt compelled to agree, but then said they must stagger the phase in the increments. The Minister of Culture at the time was Minister Shipela.
Yeah.
And he then did a submission to say to the judge they must proceed with this matter. In the process, they did what was called a job evaluation. I had a look at it. I think the time that could still be discussed. Now, ultimately, there was a pressure because there was a lobby group on the matter being taken to court, which came, I think, likely from Limpopo, to say that the judge must do a determination. Otherwise, they're taking both the president and the minister and the judge to court. In that process, they felt that the matter needs to be taken forward. And so a list of about, well, not a list, but a schedule of about 7,500 people was added onto the paper on the basis of that they will be all, they are all in the Luna. Mechanisms for determining, for the appointment, for the monitoring, for the supervision, for the dismissal, for the changes of status, was not really looked at very strongly. And so when the letter came from KZN, the judge went to KZN and met the Premier and MEC and said, look, what do you suggest? And the issue was there was a problem with additional financial allocation. Then the matter was brought to the Minister of Finance and Coopta to find a way to deal with it. All we can find is a letter from the Minister of Finance saying that there's pressure to the fiscals, but they understand the feeling of inequity, but here's the problem. But they never came to say to the judge, here's the additional funding. That never happened. Now, the Minister of Culture took the matter further, and then the judge brought the matter back and did the proclamation. Now that that proclamation has been done, everyone had to try and find a way to survive. But there was no additional allocation given to the province, particularly of KwaZulu-Natal. So we are sitting in a situation here where we do know that the constraints that the problem is raising is a serious concern. So the strange twist of fate is that this matter was discussed 2009-2010 when the last letter, I think, was sent by the minister on the 3rd of June 2009 or 10. The matter was raised in 2016 by the province to the Minister of Culture. And guess who the Minister of Culture was? It was now the one who had been the Minister of Finance before. Sorry? Because he had raised this bit and then the Minister of Culture. So when the matter arose again, he was now the Minister of Culture. So they were asked to come and do a presentation, but it doesn't seem like that presentation did ultimately happen.
Oh.
And subsequently, of course, the minister became Minister of Finance, but the matter was still not resolved. So to me, it sounds like this is one area which, while the determination, legally speaking, you can't fault it administratively, there needs to have been an arrangement to pronounce on the additional resources that are needed. So what we hope we still have to do is to bring the matter up at that level. Between myself and yourself, Chairperson, I'm sure you recall that one of the challenges was that when there was a bargaining chamber agreement, where there was an increment which was determined, all the provinces were told to find a way to deal with it. So we now have to deal with a situation where provinces have got additional determinations that they've got to find a way of dealing with inside their own resources. I don't believe that this meeting here is coming to you with a solution.
Yeah.
I think what we're basically saying, yeah, we're saying to you, we're dealing with this matter, we're not at the end of it, we are aware of the outcry that's coming up on the ground, we also are aware that the department has got particular constraints, we're aware that the economy is such that the revenue is not at its best at the moment, we're also aware that there are increasing pressures on the government. So it's amongst those issues that when we have to sit down, the government has to figure out how you deal with that kind of situation. At the end of the day, the problem with the fiscal is that if you want additional allocation to one side, you're going to take from another side.
Yeah.
And that is not something that we can determine as we sit here. We're just simply saying that we are updating the committee so that when you get to your report, it must be clear what the constraints are.
Yeah.
In this matter.
Yeah.
I don't think that we are here to denounce anything or to lobby for anything. We're just simply saying know the facts, and therefore we can talk about what approach is. I think from where we sit, COCTA and the Minister of Finance have to go through a discussion, but I do know the answer already because I meet with him and I sit with him very frequently, and so I know what his real challenges are as we speak today. I don't want to bring all the other issues, but I mean, as you sit here today, you know that the first discussion when you get to meeting a cabinet is what's going to be done with us. You know, we need this and then the order of SAP and so on. So we're very much alive to the fact that there are constraints all around. But we just want the matter to be put in the context so that you understand how we got here, but not so much that there's anything that we want to suggest. At the moment, we just have to continue negotiating around the matter. I'm sure the DM, with his experience on the matter, would love to give us additional insight.
Not much, Minister. Thank you, Chairperson of the Select Committee. I think the pressure point is clear, and I think that is
yeah.
They've been raising this matter consistently. Other provinces seem to have made their way around, and that is why they are not present in those provinces.
Yeah.
But KZN with a number also, and also what is using Duona, they have been made pressurized, because as the MEC for Finance was saying, Headman in KZN is not similar everywhere. The interpretation issue is that therefore, one, two, the figures are high, 3,000 customers, when they did their audit, and they didn't say they will pay no money for this unless the mandate is funded. And therefore, they've been throwing it back to the national to say we need a solution from that point of culture to the Minister of Finance. And I think, as the Minister of Culture says, now we inherited the issue, but the engagement definitely is going to be something that is going to be a process, it's a difficult issue. There are so many demands and pressures in the sector as we speak now. But that does not mean we denounce it. But I think KZN is bringing the issue is more at hardcore in that particular area. And there's pressure from this country also for them to say, find a way like other provinces. So it's easy for other provinces because the numbers are less. But probably with KZN it will be difficult for them to arrive at a conclusive settlement of the issue, and unfortunately the bill keeps going up year in and year out, and the more they do not pay, the more it's going to be. But for now, I think, as you said, that this meeting may not conclude on any issue, but raising the issues and see if there could be a process to be followed in arising, which other processes are unfolding, but probably will also be guiding and saying, therefore, the committee to this is a process that will also begin to be done. Thank you.
Honorable MEC, welcome.
Thank you.
You can make your input.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity. I think as the committee and as the people who are expected to drive the legislation and be able to be clear when we're dealing with various legislation and the implications of those legislation, I think the MEC of Finance has raised a couple of issues, saying precisely that Isizula is just one of those areas. But also focusing on the fact that when the remuneration of public office bearers, when we met with the judge, they thought that headmen, they thought the KZN has headmen like all other provinces, and indeed we did have headmen, but those headmen were the 26 headmen that we had inherited from the Eastern Cape when there was that part that came to KwaZulu-Natal. And then when the judge looked at each province, there was the name headmen for every province. But when it came to of course, when the headman from Eastern Cape came to KwaZulu-Natal, there was already an expectation. There was already, they had already been paid like all other headmen in the Eastern Cape, and they came to KwaZulu-Natal. But then there was a question to say, what then do you do if there are headmen coming from the Eastern Cape? Why are the headmen in KZN? We were very clear, and even today, the legislation of KwaZulu-Natal 2005 says Isizula are voluntary. That's the legislation that we're sitting with. Taking that legislation and looking at the national legislation, but also looking at what then are the various categories of traditional leadership institution within the whole institution, you'll see that you would have the kings, you will have what is called the senior traditional leader, you'll have different leadership in the institution. And that's what got conflated in the process, where we found ourselves in a corner that said the judge has now said all provinces have got headmen and all provinces should then continue to pay, and the judge then determined what needed to be paid. And we then raised the issue with the the parliament and the national minister at the time to say, please, can you look at this, because we do not have head men, as it were, previously in KwaZulu-Natal. The only head men that we have is the ones that we inherited from the Eastern Cape, and we were very clear about those. They continued being paid, and there was only 26 of them. But if you looked on the categories on the KZN card, somehow, somewhere, someone just turned the page and said, oh, okay, these are also headmen, and put in the number, and then we then ended up with those 3,000 going up even every day on the numbers of Izinduna. And we then, Chair, declared an intergovernmental dispute with the then Minister, I think it was Minister Nene, it was Minister Gordon at first. We declared an intergovernmental dispute, and we said in terms of the law, can we sit down and look at those issues and get to understand what is it that we're dealing with and how do we then proceed? Because on one side we have the legislation, and by the way, in the national legislation also determines how you arrive at the headman. It says, you know, there must be a family tree, there must be a recognition process, there must be this. And in KZN we don't have that. That applies to the senior traditional leadership. When it comes to Izinduna, there's no family chief, and they're just appointed by Amakosi at any time, and, you know, released at any time, and of course you can appoint it wherever. That's why we also then ended up with the Izinduna that we're double dipping in the fact that they are other teachers, they are police, they exist. And they've always been like that, they're business people, because Izinduna was always voluntary for KZN as per our legislation. Now, the then Minister Pravin Gordhan was not able to respond to our intergovernmental dispute. We then proceeded, when the Minister Gordhan moved to COPTA, the National Minister of COPTA, we then again went to Minister Nene and said, Minister Nene, we have declared an intergovernmental dispute on this matter. Can this matter be looked at? Can we discuss and find a way on this matter? At the same time, the remuneration of public office bearers still continue to carry this care every year, happening every year, which a tag that was now put into as if this is KZN as well. I mean, that must apply to KZN. And the then KZN Premier, Minister Mkhize, had dealt with this matter through the presidents, and all the presidents all the time were always raising it to say, please, can you make sure that you understand what is this category, and there is a clear definition of what are the various categories of the institution of traditional leadership. When Minister Nene raised the issue, we raised the issue with him, he then said, Minister Gordhan, who was now the COPTA minister, said, no, raise the issue with Minister Nene because I can't do anything about this matter. At the same time, we went back to the judge and said, judge, can you, because it's now the judge who says these are the categories of the institution. And the judge is saying, but I just determine the institution. I've got nothing to do with the legislation.
Yeah.
Legislature, parliament, deal with the legislation in terms of clarification or what have you. Because we took it from the start that was saying all the provinces have got headmen, all the judges needed to do was just to regulate that so that they continue being paid and all other, you know, whatever rights that accrue to them. The continued challenge that indeed the headman that came through from the Eastern Cape to KZN, the appointment of those is in line with the legislation as it stands, because they are headmen and they have family trees, they have, you know when this one dies and there's kids and families and the recognition of them as well is according to the national legislation. While on the other side, the one that is the Duna one is not the same. So we're finding ourselves where there is this pressure that was then put to KZN, but when it comes to the national parliament and COP, whichever legislature structure that needed to clarify and ensure that we clean up our legislation, there has not been a response on that. So coupled with that, that's why then the MEC finance is raising that. We further raise the matters that say, if you look at how every year there are increments in terms of the salaries of public service, you would have maybe 7% or 9% increment on the public service. And then on the other side, the provinces will then be expected to carry whatever increases determined by the bargaining council. But further to that, you will then have, through the public service, during the year and any other time, you'll be told that it's been determined that people that are in salary level 1, they're now going to be in salary level 5, salary number 9, 8 must now go to salary category number 10. But there's no funding that goes with that, because that, if you take people from category or grade 5 to grade 6, then you take the grade 6 to grade 9, that has got huge financial implications, but that does not take into consideration that you already have a burden of the other percentage that was decided by the bargaining council that has not been costed or even paid to provinces, so that you have been able to carry your provincial fiscal. So we're sitting with that challenge. As the Minister Mkhize is saying, he has been able to take us through. We have been discussing the matter because he knows the matter very well, and he knows even the provincial legislation that we had, and we still have the same legislation. It has not changed. But on the other side, on the national side, there are these glaring, lack of clarity in terms of what are the various categories of the institution. And we've raised the issue as well to say, when the parliament or NCOP, when you look at the issue of traditional institutions, please remember that the constitution as well clearly says that you should regard each other's traditions and customs and culture. So you can't do something that you'll have one legislation that deals with Ababedi or Xhosa or Zulu or any other traditional institution. You've got to recognize constitutionally how it's run. That's why then we find ourselves in a situation where the government doesn't have any right to say who should be in Duna, on the side of Duna. Government also does not have any say with to who and how many and where, but you now have that situation where you find yourself as government having been just being absorbed by the air that came in and put us in the situation. So I think perhaps the long and short of the presentation as was presented by the the MEC of finance in KZN, I can summarize it as that. As complicated as it is, but from the legislative level, there is work that needs to be done, and so that we are then able to be clear as to what is it that we are dealing with, how do we deal with the issues of tradition, customs, and culture of various communities in our country.
Thank you, Honourable MEC Minister.
Thank you very much. First, I want to say that even though Chairperson, we give the union the name of the ministers, the matter is a bit bigger than just individual ministers. It's not about their force, actually. The matter is a bit complex.
It is complex.
The determination is by law. So anybody who challenges us on that issue is basically talking on something that we all know what to talk about. Then I looked at the issue, as I said, of the job description. While the job description did not take into account in the shift that has happened on the ground, that for local, in the past, what Induna used to do as part of the local government structure of the pre-94 situation, no longer applies. And so there will be a variation in terms of what the responsibilities are. But adding a complication to the political dynamics is that in the same space, the new local government dispensation will give you counselors everywhere where they've been going. And that, to try and equate Ngozi and the counselor, is a huge politics in the area, because in terms of the communities, Ngozi is senior. In terms of the legislative authority, the counselor is the one that sits. Now that complicates the issues, because when you sit in a community, their subscription to a traditional community setting means that the counselor is a subject who must sit here and wait to hear what Ngozi has to say. But in council, Ngozi has no status. Instead, they come in as the house, which has got an advisory power, which itself is good enough. Then, below the counselor is a set of ward committee members. The status of the ward committee members in the eyes of a community that has been standardized in Duna is not the same. And that creates a dynamic which makes everyone say, but we do this work, what are these others doing? So it's a transitional situation that we have to work through and manage. And of course, you know, what's called community, work committees, you also have CDWs, all of whom are doing more or less the same kind of work. So what we need to try and work on is the synchronization of all these structures, because that's where you're getting the tensions that are making the matter more complicated. The other aspect is that Izinduna are not the lowest level of the traditional structure in terms of hierarchy. Below them, there are Amapoisa or Izikonzi, who are almost like court messengers. If there's someone who needs to be summoned, those are the ones that will go. Someone in between Induna, someone in between Ngozi traditional council. Now, that area is an area that is quietly waiting to say, when we discuss the traditional structure, we're not pitching. Where do we fit here? So, now I'm coming to that one. Because what we found to be interesting now, and to be honest, I never noticed the difference until we had Zimkulu incorporated in KZN. That's when you realize suddenly, well, in Zimkulu, we incorporate 28 traditional leaders. Everyone is called Ngozi. So when we said, okay, we're incorporating them, then four of the traditional leaders stood up and said, ah, why not you call here? These are our headmen. pointing at the other. Then stood up and said, this one is my headman, this one is my headman, this one is my headman. And you looked at this other guy, this guy sitting in Abuja. Now, we ended up having a team that had to go to London to look at the archives, to find out who were the Amakosi in that area, because it's got a lot of history, you know, if you go back to the history of Burma Schofield, how they got executed, and who was there, who were the main people there, who were the main families, and so on. So, now, there's also what they call Inkosana, which is just below Inkosi in the Eastern King. Senior enough, but not as senior as Inkosi. Now, where that fits, if you go to KZN, you've got a different animal altogether. In KZN, you have Inkosi, then you've got the Dunankulu for that area. Dunankulu is actually senior amongst all Isidunas. He's not equal to the rest of his Induna, but he's not equal to Ngozi. But he actually takes over if Ngozi is in his disposal. And everybody knows he's got authority. If he says this, that's it. That's ruling. Now, if you calculate, KZN has got about 300 of his Induna Ngozi. And 300 of Amakosi plus minus. The rest of his Induna are below. The numbers depend on the vastness of the territory, or the population, or the disposition of Ngozi. So, you have Ngozi, like Kwajama, where, you know, the total, you know, the first about 15, 20 is Ngozi. Okay. Then you got to Tembe. You've got 62 in Duna, every Duna is equal to a ward, and the municipality is the same size as the traditional area. And then you go to, Mandaraz. Then you have 48 in Duna, it's bigger than the traditional council where the king presides. It's the politics of the place. And you go to some of the areas like Nmutu, Wamlese, Wadaise. Wadaise, you go to smaller traditional council, got a very long history of how it became like that because it was the only one some years back. But then you go to Nmutu, almost 18, 20 words in Mutu are under one code, which are in English. So, then, then you have Ndombela.
Yeah.
Ndombela, and what's the other area? Yeah, Ndombela. In this area, you've got Ndombela, which goes up to there. Then you've got Ujama, which boundaries come up to here. So, you've got the territory where each one holds their own individual. Yeah. And then they will shoot each other, fight, and then you bring a commission, you stop that, you bring the king, it comes down, and so on. But you know, to count, one day you wake up and they tell you that no, it's equal, because government has put more individual here again. So the number is elastic there, because there's honorable judgment was the sixth constituent. Now, what we're trying to explain here is that the levels are not consistent. Their roles are not consistent. When the job description was done, it didn't take all of these issues. I looked at it yesterday. In fact, initially I was a bit thinking that the judge, how did this thing, they actually did a better job. They got a consultancy to come and do job description. I looked at the name of the company, and I said, my goodness, where would this gentleman, this consultancy, understand the dynamics of Ududuna from? Because all the coordinator, I can't see it here because I didn't bring my specs, would love to show you why this thing is not as simple as we might think. Because then I just showed me how to do this. The guy from the commission took me through the job description. The job description has got no such qualifications as I'm giving to you. And there is no way with the generic job description you couldn't come with the kind of determination that the judge came to. So in other words, my point is that the matter is a little bit more complex than we can think we can just simply just solve as we talk today. And the changing, the different dynamics are such that it would be difficult if you were to ask us what is the solution. I'd say the solution is to go and negotiate.
Absolutely.
That's all I can say. And I'm trying to see if I can find this, but because I can't...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I can't, I will not waste your time, Chairperson.
But it's not a rule book for
that. Excuse me? So, just to say that everybody tried to do their best in this process. Just they are dealing with something that's difficult. And I must also accept that you could have probably solved the first few glaring issues at the time. And I think we should have expected that more issues are going to arise later. And I've got no doubt that if we think we've solved this problem, then you can go around patting each other on the shoulder and say we've solved it. I know which one is going to come next. And it's not going to be as easy to conclude and stop, simply because we're trying to align two institutional frameworks that are not necessarily compatible. So I think what we want to plead here is a bit of patience, that we will do what we can to resolve this issue, but when we're going through this difficulty, the problem is raising an issue that we're fairly familiar with from the point of view of the genesis of its difficulty and the financial constraints that are attendant to the definition. But actually when this whole issue was first mooted, I was Minister of Finance. So we were very worried at that point. Then when the determination came, I was now Premier, and we sat down and went through this discussion. Now, I don't think anyone met with the former president several times, and he understood it. Where things went wrong, well, at the end, and his legal advisors explained to me, said, yes, but you went and spoke to the president. The president came back and raised the issue when the challenge we were to face as the president was, if you got five provinces that are pushing for the thing to happen, and you got one province which is hesitant, what do you do as a president? Are you going to say that your province is complaining so you can't? So it was a matter of the problem does not hit the same provinces the same way. That is because of the asymmetry of the institution in terms of its definition as a traditional institution. This is not the only issue. We just talked about this in Duna today. When we talk about the next layer above the kingships, Eastern Cape doesn't want to talk to us. Because they think we're making things easy for other provinces and more difficult for them. Now we say why? They say we've got six of them of kings. In our case, with a few others still challenging. Then Limpopo is going to be next, raising the same issue. So what makes it quiet for now is because there are court cases. Then afterwards it's going to come back. And when you sit with traditional leaders, they ask you, why don't you synchronize all of these things? You have to synchronize them on the basis of common purpose, common activity, common job description, common role, and so on. They're not quite like that. So when you try and adjust one, you take it up, then of course you leave a whole lot of people and the other thing might be unaffordable. If you push it down, the others are complaining that you're actually degrading their status. And so it's the nature of the beast. It's not so much that is any, you know, malpractice or irregularity. Is that the nature of the problem? I think if we can describe it that way, it makes it easier. I don't know, did you need to give us the reference, but I think the committee of science, did you, in the book, can you give me the job to because I think, so as to understand how it becomes very challenging. So, this is December 2008. So, the job description is, this is for Indiana.
Excuse me, sorry, I interjecting, Minister.
No, let the Minister first, let we get all the presentations.
Do we have a presentation from Kofta, so I can follow through what
you
say?
You don't understand it.
Just hold your horses.
That's why I'm
on the member.
Sorry, I apologize, but I need to see it.
When I speak alone.
I accept that.
Accepted. We come to the deliberations. Hold your horses. Give the Minister the opportunity. We are being educated on a very, very difficult issue.
There's a briefing here, but there's no briefing from Kofta.
Just listen to me.
Okay, I listen to you. You know it all, sir.
I did my reading. Thank you.
Where? What reading?
Minister, over to you.
Look, let me say the briefing is what has been tabled. I'm not sure how much of the rest
December.
Of the report. Okay. We can actually just check if we can make all these files available,
yes.
Which we should do, and apologize for that.
Just
that, for purposes of elaboration, we'll refer to a bit more detail than what's on this thing, but for the members, we can make the file available. So in there, it talks about job description, job title. Says the role of the headman and traditional leaders is primarily concerned with development of communities in traditional areas, and they have a large role to play in representing traditional people to the government and accelerating delivery of services to the rural community. That description fits for the mayor, fits for the councillors, fits for the MP, fits for everybody. Then it goes to accelerate service delivery to rural people. It fits for the councillor, it fits for CTWs, it fits for everyone. So it's very generic. Without this background, you have a problem with the determination on this thing. I just wanted to make that point. So the matter is complex from that point of view. Can I just ask that, because in the event that we didn't have all the documentation, just to try and make sure that that documentation is made available. It's something that will take a while to read, but that's what I've tried. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other additions? Sorry. Are there any other additions from your side? I'm coming to the Treasury, let me see.
Thank you. Sorry, I totally concur with the Minister of Kofta and how complex this matter is. I mean, the fact that this thing has been bounced between National Treasury and National Kofta back to National Treasury is an indication of how difficult this matter has been to resolve. But I would like the Minister to please, and the MEC, now we've got them both in the room, to discuss an unfunded mandate that's on its way. And the one is the traditional courts bill, and the other one is the tools of trade. I really would like, and I don't know whether the NEC wants to do it, but I can tell you that comes with a huge price. And again, we are looking at a potential unfunded mandate. So please, I don't want to leave here. The fact that we've got the Minister here is of great assistance to us, and I'm very glad he's here today to explain how difficult the Isandina issue is. But now that we have got them here, I'm not in a position to explain from our side in KZN the difficulty with respect to the traditional courts and all the tools of trade, the financial issue. I mean, they want computers and laptops and you know what else, medical aid. there, has there been a treasury certificate? Where are we supposed to find the money? And I say this knowing how many amakosi we have in KZN.
Thank you, MEC, the Honourable Minister. Honors all invitations to our committee meetings, either finance or appropriations. He sets the example for the rest of the EXCO, also in 9 provinces. Treasury, I want to give you the opportunity. There's 2 matters. The one is legislation. The other one is financing. And the fiscus is that big. And to let the fiscus grow, you must have more revenue. And that's why we have to improve SARS revenue collection. And on the 21st of February, the afternoon 12:30 until 15 hours, the SARS, acting SARS commissioner will also be part of the delegation led by the Minister of Finance, giving us a briefing on the national budget. And I warned him, the acting commissioner, you must come back and report where are we now with SARS in terms of revenue collection. Because members, you just listened of what the priorities are. And you'll hear it next Wednesday, 2:00 in the afternoon, when the national budget is tabled. To dovetail with the SONA we heard last week. Now you can see how complicated it is. And thank you, Minister, for educating us. For me, this was an eye-opener. I've got to go and read the history of my country again. Yes. No, it's not something to laugh at. Because we're dealing with people. Yes. It shows you how different one province is to the other one. Absolutely. And that's the reality we are facing. Mrs. Karekwa, you are part of this finance family. Are there any inputs you want to make? Because I know you must take a message back to the Treasury. When we deal with the Division of Revenue Bill, we will have this on the table to register it there. MEC made a remark. What did the NCOP do? Here's the NCOP today dealing with this matter. And it will become part of the way forward in the 6th Parliament. And also taking Parliament to the people, because each province will get a turn in the next 5 years, where the NCOP go back to that province. Our flagship program, going to KZN, this must be engaged with. Honourable members, questions. I just want to repeat what I've said. These documents were sent to us in December or beginning of January. When did you send this package?
A long time.
Yes. You don't read this in an hour. Forget it. It takes you up to 3 hours because you must understand what you are reading and see the processes that was gone through. And I made my own summary. But the minister filled in all the other gaps, giving us a better picture. Honourable Motla Shubing. Honourable Mtetwa, thank you.
No, thanks, Chair. Compliments of the new students. We are meeting so late in the year. It's for the 10th time that we are meeting with you. And the compliments. You know, when I read this document, I wrote a lot of this. I thought it was very easy.
Order.
And immediately after the minister explained the complexities that are involved, I then now realized how deep this crisis is. And really, with half-cooked information, it will not assist even this committee to come to a particular determination. Because some of the issues that are raised here needs at least culture, national treasurer, the judge, everybody to bring a framework, having incorporated all these issues so that TINA as the select committee of finance, then we do what we call facilitation. We bring you under one roof. Because you see, one area that is concerning me is that you can't have a problem perpetually that is there forever. 2014 to date, we have not even moved some step towards addressing this challenge facing us. And I think it is important that we must begin to move a step at least, despite all the challenges. But challenges are there for us to overcome. And hence I'm proposing that, you know, if there can be a framework, all these things brought together before the committee. Because at the moment, the minister is correct. When we can try to engage on this issue, you know, when I started looking at this thing, I said, no, in the Northwest, we had a commission. When I was with COFTA, we had a commission dealing with the disputes. And it was scheduled for 5 years. And within the 5 years, part of the major problems were resolved because it was a family tree and all that, like you explained. And we were able to resolve quite a number of issues. But this one, you can see and hear that it's more deeper than what I thought initially. However, having said that, I think we must begin this thing from the beginning. You can't budget. You will always have that unfunded mandate, the manner in which I hear. If you don't have the numbers, and this thing, you know, like the minister explained, it's not like a family tree, it's elastic. They keep on appointing. But you know, this thing, as long as you talk remuneration, you will have many people getting involved in the process because everybody will want to be remunerated. But there must be a legislation that will guide and say at least this number. This is what will guide our budget as a province. And if we don't reach that, we will have a problem. But Mina, I'm thinking that we should go deeper into this thing and have a clearer understanding change. As it is, I want us to have to play a facilitation role where we'll bring everybody under one roof, provided with the framework. Thank you.
I hope you return in the sixth parliament on the
I will.
That's the question mark hanging over our heads sitting here. Honourable Tetwa, or Minister? Yeah, first let the members ask and then you can reply.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I also want to thank you for inviting us at COFTA committee to be part of this meeting. It was a very important meeting to us because of dealing with the issues, especially the internet from KwaZulu-Natal. It's a boiling issue indeed. But I want to thank each and every presenter, those who have spoken before me, especially the minister and the MCs for COFTA and finance, and the deputy minister who was here, the deputy minister for COFTA when the issue was started. You know, as I said, that the issue is very complicated. But we need to come to terms with it. I'm worried because we are meeting here and the written date is on the 8th of May. And it is possible that the minister that we have, it won't be a minister at that time, maybe we're going to move to another position from the minister to another department. And the MECs from KZN like that, and the deputy minister, and then we will start afresh again and continue discussing this issue. I think, being said that, we need to put the election as a matter of urgency with the Department of Treasury, because they know the issues. Department of Treasury and the Office of the President, because some of the problems that we are facing in KwaZulu-Natal is because of the announcement that was made by the President. And we cannot be able to deal with the matter without involving them to be part of our discussion and know exactly what is taking place on that issue and the complications of the issues that arise in the community. Because when you talk about the back pain, you know, you talk about the back pain and you don't have even a day of resolving that. It's a serious problem. Because those people are keep on counting that now we are owed so much. But now we are owed so much. And one day, it's a time bomb that we're sitting upon. One day that time bomb will burst. And I don't know how many people will be injured on that time bomb. So I think the Office of the Presidency and the Court Treasurer, they need to come up with something in order to resolve this. Even if we try to explain to these people to hold on this back pay, because it keeps on arising without any solution. That is my input at the moment. Thank you very much.
I noted Honorable Monakedi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I also want to join my colleagues in welcoming the inputs that have been made by the MECs, the President Minister, and the I think it has just provided an eye-opener in terms of what is happening as far as this matter is concerned. I agree. It is a complex issue, but unfortunately has to be attended to as soon as possible. My proposal is that in the immediate, we need to encourage the two departments, Procter and National Treasury, to come together and find a solution to the unfunded mandates as it obtains now, because the problem still with them is under pressure to address this. So I believe still the two should be able to try and find some resources somewhere where those resources can then be used to alleviate the situation in Kinshasa. In the long term, I agree with what the minister in the late has actually proposed, that we give them a chance to move into this challenge. And hopefully they will come up with a legislation that will ensure that issues of identification of traditional legal statements, the numbers, maybe the issues of affordability, issues of who appoints even donors or headmen, the issues of members of traditional councils that also obviously at some point are going to be raising their own demands as well. And other issues that the colleagues have raised, this I believe should be part of the long term, which should be addressed through legislation in terms of amending whatever pieces of legislation that are there, including the regulations that if there are some in place, so that we have got a clear guideline for our traditional communities in terms of these particular issues. So my proposal is that one. But in the immediate, let's encourage the two departments to come together, find some money to deal with the situation in the greater than. But in the long term, encourage the department to indeed lead the process of amending or coming up with the new legislation to address these issues, and being guided in the main by issues of affordability, meaning that at the end of the day, that legislation as it comes, you have to have that treasury mitigated, so that we don't just pass the legislation and the next thing we get surprised if we don't get enough resources. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Monakedi. The members are actually giving the way forward. And the summary, Honorable Minister,
We are now concluding our meeting. MEC, I don't need your hand.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I think I do welcome this mission from the Honorable Members, and I think definitely these will can take us forward. And what will be appreciated, though, as the Honorable Members were saying, we can't be dealing with the one issue for so many years, and there's not even an inch of movement to say, okay, we've amended the section, or this is in the process of being amended. And I think that's what really needs to be done.
12
years. With the leadership of the Minister of Culture and the legislature and the members of Parliament, the legislature and GOP, we need to move to clarify and amend and clean up whatever areas that need to be cleaned up as urgent as possible. But I think we shouldn't forget the matter that was raised by my NEC sport, issue of the traditional court spell, because it doesn't work than what we're talking about. It creates a myriad of structures out there, from court secretaries to the court judicial court members to Inkundla, to advisors, to paralegals, to it's something that this will be effective if you look at the traditional court bill and what it is coming up with. The cost that is involved there, it's really a serious issue. But also it asks a question as to whether are we leading as members of Parliament legislature when it comes to applying our minds to the type of legislation that was put before us? Do we understand, or do we take a step and say, what is it that we're dealing with? Yeah, because especially now in this kind of financial pressures that our country find themselves at, that you need to be delivering out there to our communities. There are people who still do not have water to drink. There are people who still do not have houses. There are children who still lack, you know, transport, for scholar transport, and a lot of other pressures are out there that the government has got to, you know, ensure that we deliver the service. At the same time, we're talking about what used to be a voluntary system that we know in the traditional community we're brought up with. You know, we knew how the structure relates to this and Nicosian and Kondla and everything else as community structures. Right now you have the ward committees, you want to be paid because how can you pay in Duna when you don't pay ward committees? How can you pay in Duna when you're not paying the traditional councils, the members who then preside over that traditional community, the traditional council itself? So we need to be sitting down and saying, as the Minister of Culture started by saying, you've got a wall-to-wall local government infrastructure. Now, what does that mean? And what do we have in mind when we look at the three spheres of government and we say we've got to have a wall-to-wall? What does that mean? And how do we then interface your ward committees, your traditional council, your other structures? I don't even want to get to this one because it's a serious matter that if we're not looking at what are we passing and where are the certificates for some of the legislation that we're passing, we really want to find ourselves in a very difficult situation because it will come back to us and say, what kind of leaders would do such a thing? I mean, why are we not applying our minds to the task that is before us? So we're just pleading that, having introduced the matter to the honorable members and the committees, and I agree with the facilitation type of discussion, so that whatever we might have erred in terms of just putting something out there and thinking that it's the same, but also the issue of what does our constitution say in terms of the recognition of each and every traditional community, customs and culture? Because unless you deal with that, you're going to have a situation where government will be seen to be imposing something to the community that does not conform to my traditions and culture and customs.
No. Thank you very much for the comments made by one of our members. And just a few remarks. Also trying to help and contribute. As a country, we made choices at the time of negotiations, and we came up with a constitutional model that says representative democracy and participatory democracy ought to be expanded, because we come from an era where these were not part of the democratic system, and therefore the participatory democracy had to inherit also traditional forms of tradition, including the Western models of democracy combined. So those are the choices, and I think we have embraced them, and we just have to find the mechanism that is now beginning to acknowledge challenges, that acknowledges changes, that acknowledges society that is on the move, and then adapt along the way of those. The issue of the traditional custody is with the department, still with the committee, portfolio committee of justice. It has not yet been called to the NA. It has not yet been reached the stage of the NCOP. But already the issues that are raising at the point when the matter comes to the NCOP, I hope you'll pick up on some of the issues, the cost in particular. But I hope therefore that the NA is also being sensitized on those particular issues. But it's also an outcome of negotiations itself, that bill. There was the national testing that was established to find a model of balancing the need, which is in the constitution, also the constitutional obligation too, for us to establish this particular court. We are going to see since there must be there in terms of the area that deals with the justice, but what is the model? What can work and what cannot work, obviously? And the cost element of it, that we need to be alive to them. I hope therefore that when it comes to the NCOP, we'll be able then to pick up on some of the points. The challenges of the fiscal is an issue now. Probably because the economy is not growing, and hence we are now beginning to be saying what is of primary importance now, and what's not, and obviously in the balancing there are other pressures that are arising, and I think that has been mentioned. The review of the legislation, I think you are beginning to say, can we then begin to look at this and clean up, so there's a lot of cleaning that ought to happen around that determination itself as a law, but also the primary legislation also. We have to then go and say, what is it that we need to do so that there's a conformity that can work for our democracy? And I think that issue has been raised quite strongly and sharply. We'll then have to, in the sixth parliament, have to look at that whether we are there or we are not there. We are giving those who are becoming in a task and an assignment. The last then is the issue of what do we do with the current situation, the obligation of paying. And I think members are saying, Minister Proctor, Minister of Finance, can you engage on the issues and see? Because KZN is already ready to say, we cannot afford, we can't pay, not because they don't want to, not because they don't respect the law, not because that they don't respect the existence of such individuals. It's just that in the fiscal, they can no longer afford, it's impossible. And therefore, the matter ought to find a solution. Minister of Finance, Minister of Costa, including the province, obviously, will in their engagements, will have to include them to say what could be the solution going forward, so that we are able to deal with the obligation, what is it that is in the law that says you should have paid this particular people at a particular point in time, and then because you can't afford, what is it that can do? And I think that's the clear from the honorable members, but from Chakra to say, in the case that then it's a real issue now, and then what is it that we can do to find a mechanism whilst we're keen in the law
bringing all the issues that have been raised by President and other provinces probably and hearing and etc. That going forward, therefore, do the model that I think is affordable. I get to say that affordability also be looked at so that we're able then to also give sensitivity around the issues of who does what, who appoints, what is their role definition. As the minister was raising, Costa was raising, what is their role? The definition of Sudan, because there are lots of customers, they are custodians of our culture. But then when you look at the determination, it then gives them other roles of developmental issues and so forth. Now competing in the same space with CWs, also competing in the same space with the work committees and councillors. So we then have to then also then other area of cleaning so that when you then compensate, you compensate something that says this is your custodian, this is your mandate, therefore the role should be up to this particular point. And I think then we get to do it well. So I think that's what I present here for now.
Thank you very much. I think let's take it from the same point that we made. We negotiated the settlement, we made choices. We took a choice that basically said that it was a constitutional democracy, but we will recognize customary law, traditional institutions, and these two shall coexist. The question is how. In trying to refine the coexistence, we're going to make mistakes, we're going to have areas where we disagree and all of that. I think what we need to accept is that we've got a system that we think is best suited for South Africa, but it's not perfect. The world is not perfect. There are going to be every now and again issues where we've got to relook at the issues being raised. There are going to be situations where we're going to have to redefine what we thought was concluded. So the issue for us is, do we say national treasure must decide whether we can take a particular policy position or we can make a personal law? Or do we say we'll make a policy position and then look at whether we, to what extent are we able to implement it based on the available resources? Well, the issue that is being raised by the treasure, it's a reality, but it's very difficult to find a balance between making a policy position and to determine whether it is affordable. That to get that balance is very difficult. And so this is what we always get caught about. And in this case, it's very clear that everybody realizes the problem, but the treasury could stop on the stand on the way of the bill of the determination and stop it. At the same time, when I come in, I say, but where is the conclusion that basically says that there is money for this? You don't find it either. But effectively, government is worked like that. You sit down, look at the requests, wish lists, priorities, then determine what the government, what the fiscal can finance. And then you can implement on the basis of what is possible. I think your point of affordability, Honorable Nugget, is actually case in point. In relation to the time point that Honorable Nugget has spoken about, all we can request is just to plead for patience. I think it's good enough for Honorable Nugget to report back to the Nigerian to say the issue is very complicated. Your point has been heard. The matter has been handled based on the fact that it was not perfect from the start. And so there are many issues that are being balanced, and the ministers have to sit down and look at what is the best way to deal with them. I think from the point of view of dealing with the constituency of people who want to know whether they are being heard or not, I think it's actually fair to raise the report back, to say, we've actually put the matter up. This is where the discussion is. Now, having said that, this issue of Indiana, we have to sort out the administrative framework around which this matter gets made. a big witness. If I were to ask today to say, show me the guidelines of how his donors are appointed, it's not the same as civil servants who actually appear in the PESA, but then we not be paying. How do we ensure that there's quality check on this process?
Yes.
How do we make sure that we know the engagement terms and the terms of appointment, the duration of appointment, the dismissal mechanisms, and even mechanisms to take the matter up? Can we take it to the labor court for them? You know, the disagreement. Can somebody say, well, this Ngozi doesn't like me because of personal issues that I'm performing? And all of those issues are going to come in. Maybe they're too late then to worry about that, but this is the time to deal with those issues now. Having said all of that, who's monitoring it? Who's actually monitoring it? And even if I afford it. The problem with this issue is the choices that we're going to make, because what national fiscals would look at is an allocation to the province based on the formula. Then you prioritize inside your province and decide how you deal with it. The issue of traditional courts is coming. And there's nothing new in it. We all knew that we wanted to put up these courts. The question is whether we've got money for it. But beyond that, there are also traditional policies or means in which have been actually funded. And it's supposed to go on, and I know in some provinces it has been stopped because there's no more money. The others welcome to receive, they're feeling it's unfair why we didn't receive, we're on the online to receive, but we don't have. And it was done in good faith, but right now they can't be afforded. Traditional court secretaries. This is a smaller issue. That one's big, is with the Public Service Commission.
Yeah.
We're not talking about it here. And they say, you see that whole job description we're talking about? We are the ones who keep those records, we are right, we are the ones who actually have got the records of the entire system.
Yeah.
Even if Induna is not able to read or write, it can't be appointed as Induna, but provided the secretary will take the records. And we do that, now what's happening to us? And others are saying, no, they must be, you know. So this is the whole area, and you must remember that what we have done, we put a system on top of a system that existed, and they were not properly aligned. And so this issue needs attention. Right now, Department of Culture is working on the roles, powers, and functions of traditional leaders. We've moved quite a bit. Where we are, we're at a point where there's a document. We're going to be calling on a conservative meeting just to deal with those in the next few weeks. This has got cost. It's not going to have a function in the power and the role, and there's no money attached to it. It will be bigger than any of the things that we're talking about. So it's something that we must be alive to in reality. In there, the issue of the tools of trade, and here we're talking about salaries, staffing, infrastructure, budgets for operations, for every one of the 8,840 traditional leaders. Each one of them. We must actually start looking at this issue. To do that, there's a cost that's associated. Then there's a whole area of other issue, areas of aspiration. Not only salaries, because again, there's a question as to whether they're packed properly. Should the king be having the same salary as MEC or the same as Kamala and so on? Another issue. But beyond that, the issue of security, issue of transport, issue of medical aid, issue of pension, issue of a whole lot of other support mechanisms that are supposed to be associated with it. We give them transport, who's paying for the car, because the DG of the HOD of Treasury in KZN, that one is funded by government, and that one from what about us? That's the kind of thing that we have to deal with. And so there's a huge amount of cost associated with this matter. Hence my plea for patience, because you're not going to go and address one issue just for the one section, and then the others are not addressed, and in the process you're actually trying to deal with the entire institution. There's got to be some way where there's going to be choices, options, and there are things that we're going out and there are things that we're going to go with. I think it takes us back to the point that we started with, and that is the fact that this matter arose this way is really not because there is insensitivity in government, but just because the matter is a lot more complex than can be handled,
yeah.
You know, with the speed that people might think it would, because for everyone, if you open up new layers, then actually they require attention. And that, for me, an engagement is going to happen with the Minister of Finance to deal with the issue. The question of what can be done, I think it's going to be premature to sit here. I can't even determine what the Minister will say. But I think it's a fair understanding that we will go and engage, and all those who are involved in this matter must be aware that we're doing our best to handle the matter. At the same time, I think it would be very helpful for us, for the committee, select committee, to understand the issue, because when you deal with it, we deal with it from an informed point of view, which helps the process to take it forward. And as I understand the issue of honorable infrastructure being that maybe we need to all sit together. That, but obviously we could be doing that, we are given before, we brought by the committee together. I think the fact that the provinces have raised the issue is for us an important issue. But when you sit here and say that just get the provinces to talk about these issues, you'll see the complexity, even here where you think we're all agreed. Then you see how complex it is amongst themselves. In one area, somebody in this, either this committee or the portfolio committee, mentioned a province where in one district they only had two traditional leaders. They decided that they'll pay their salaries at the level of the MEC. And so, and they thought that they're doing the best in restoring, you know, our institutions and their credibility, etc. Then what causes us to fight about the tools of trade is, in fact, in one province decided that, look, we're going to give every Ngozi a car. And each one of the cars is almost a million rand. And you calculated and you realized that there were 53 of them, and they were able to write off 53 million rand and got those cars out. And then you go to KZN and say, do the same thing, they say, this is 324 million rand you're talking about. So the fact that there are differences is the issue. But we actually welcome the opportunity to share, and we welcome the opportunity to ensure that you know, we've got your support and understanding on the matter. We're all trying to resolve the same issue, but if the members could just be in a position to make it clear that this matter is complex, we're handling it, and we're trying to do our best on it. Thank you very much.
Honourable Minister, thank you very much for that closing remarks. This will be captured in our comment report, Honourable Members. Honourable Minister, you are very well positioned as Minister in that portfolio. Seeing the history where you come from, MEC for Finance, Premier, and now you in this position. So you've got that, you've got the knowledge and the expertise. No, I'm honest with you. I like to praise someone when he's still, or she's still alive. When you're not there, the other people here. Thank you for giving us this picture. Now, Treasury, the budget process starts again, if I'm correct, in June for the next financial year and the outer years. There will be a new Minister of Finance. There's a new cabinet. There will be a Lohotla for the National Treasury. That's how we started every time after a national election. There will be a budget council, there will be a budget forum. So this matter must go that, take that route. Coming back to the NCOP, that there will be a joint meeting in the 6th Parliament, must be in our minutes, must be in our report, where this new committee first to be constituted and then start their work for the next 5 years. This will be on the agenda.
and it will be a process. I think the first thing that must happen, that everyone in that committee must be educated about the issue. As we got the lecture this morning, I call it a lecture, how complicated this matter is. Honourable members, thank you very much. We still have housekeeping, that's our own minutes, so we will release. Thank you to the Minister, Deputy Minister of MEC for Coffee and MEC for Finance, and the rest of your team, HUDs, etc., who came with. It was a very, very high delegation we had here today. Thank you for honouring this appointment. Members, stay behind. We will release a Minister, Deputy Minister, and the MECs and staff. Thank you. And Mrs. Gerekwa. For the next couple of weeks, Mrs. Gerekwa, we're going to see each other every week.
I know they do that. Thank you.
I didn't know this. 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 I didn't know this.